Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXOradio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You're listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, for Imperial and Mexicali Valleys. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bainwood.
Good morning. This is Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness here in Imperial Valley. And I grew up in the Midwest, and what should happen next is we should, after the community event, we should do like the farm report. So we should be talking about soybean futures and corn prices. And everybody's looking at not here.
We are a farming community, but
you guys didn't have the farm report when you were growing up in the morning? Welcome to Agriculture.
There was a Channel 11 or Channel 13 did that, the farm report.
Yeah, and of course, I grew up in the inner city, so I was like, soybean futures, what is that? Good morning, this is Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness. 337-8874 is the phone number. I'm Scott, she's Maria. We have a guest, it's a show, let's do this. Our guest today is Claudia Camarena, and she is the program manager at Department of Social Services, and she is the Medi-Cal lady. She is all things med. Is that your program manager? What's your official department?
It is Medi-Cal.
You are all things Medi-Cal.
Yes. Yes. Remember, you know, I don't want to put the kind of gloomy, but, you know, we, Imperial County has, you know, we're the poorest county.
We keep you busy.
We're the poorest county in the whole United States, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I'm helping.
I know in California it is. High, very high poverty levels. So you're busy.
Yeah, we're busy right now. We also have the highest unemployment rate at this time. And in Medi-Cal only, we have 18,365 cases open at this time. So we are very busy right now trying to get everyone to get as much medical assistance as possible.
Is a case a person or a family?
It could be an individual or it could be the family unit.
So that means if there's a 5 people in a family, 6 people, then yeah. Actually your number is 18,000 cases,
but that's not the individual count.
Do you have a number?
Actually, I don't right now, but, you know, our caseload has been growing, especially because of the economy and so forth.
Well, let's start from the beginning. Medi-Cal. Give me a background on Medi-Cal.
Who thought that up?
And what can you get? What services can you get with Medi-Cal? Yeah.
Well, Medi-Cal, there's two programs that are usually spoken of as Medi-Cal. It's the CMSP program, the county program, and then there's the state program. What both programs do is that when a person is determined eligible, they are given services, the ability to go and receive medical services through doctors, hospitals, and so forth, so that they can maintain wellness. That's physical, and at times also includes mental health as well.
So, a double advocate moment here. Maintain wellness. So, you guys pay for wellness stuff? Preventative health care?
For the children, we do. We do the CHDP and so forth. We strongly encourage that these children receive those early diagnostic testings and so forth, go into the health department, get immunizations and so forth, because we want to ensure that the child grows up with as much opportunity and wellness as possible.
And as we know, if you take care of yourself, you'll be, when you grow up,
a taxpayer.
That's better. Yeah. Well, yeah.
You contribute so other people who need help can get it.
Yeah. Yes.
Yay. Seriously, that's a really good thing. So there is some, because one of the things we hear, not being, you know, directly in the Medi-Cal thing ourselves, I think, is, you know, California, budget crisis, mm-hmm. everything's getting chopped off.
Yes.
Nothing's available.
If I was a family receiving Medi-Cal services, and, you know, the budget crisis, I would be worried.
Well, last year we did have a decrease in benefits for the Medi-Cal population. If there was anyone that in an adult household that was over 21 receiving state Medi-Cal, there were services cut off, such as the dental services.
So for all adults?
Over 21. Right. And some of the psychology services, acupuncture, chiropractic, I'm sorry. And that was as a result of the budget cut. So, unfortunately, yeah, there has been some decrease in the benefits, but we strive, hopefully, to continue to give as much benefits as possible.
Has 2010 come out? I know they just recently did the budget, like, after a record thing. How did you guys fare?
Well, we're waiting for the aftermath. So it looks like, oh, wow. we're waiting.
You know, when you say aftermath, that's not, like, real optimistic.
I don't know. Let me change my wording. We're waiting for the final product. We're waiting for that to see. But we're very optimistic. I believe that Medi-Cal will fare well.
The basic services, you know, emergency services, that's still.
And that still continues. Until we receive word otherwise, we'll continue to do.
So who's eligible for Medi-Cal? And I think that's the main part.
Yeah.
Who can be eligible?
Well, Medi-Cal is a very complex program. It's under Medi-Cal, there's numerous programs. So I'll give a very general overview. For Medi-Cal, it's anyone child under the age of 21. And anyone that has a deprivation such as unemployment or death or so forth like that. We also have a county medical services program, which is different from Medi-Cal. For that program, it's for the individuals that are over age 21 and under age 65 that have no dependents or do not have any type of disability. If you have a disability and don't have minor children and aren't under 21, you could also qualify for Medi-Cal as well.
Disability meaning something that some official government agencies put their stamp of disability on, right? They just don't give those away like candy.
No, they don't. We have a process also that if we have an individual that comes into the office or through the application claims that they feel that they are disabled and that disability would last over 1 year, we have a process that we will send all their information and so forth to Los Angeles and have a separate state and agency make a determination for them.
That's right there on them.
Uh-huh. So sometimes it happens right there, but it varies as far as the response time.
Yeah. So how long, I mean, here I am. You know, you have a new person coming in, a mom of family, family with kids, and, you know, the way the economy is, they've lost their employment. A lot of people that were in construction, no longer in construction, you know, they're about to lose their house. You know, they no longer have insurance because, you know, they lost their employment. How long is the turnaround, or what would be the application process, or how are they, can they just go right now to Department of Services and
apply? Actually, we have three ways of applying. They can actually come into our office, and we're located at 2995 South 4th Street at Suite 105. They can also phone in if they are unable to come, and we will mail them a packet, and they can do the process over the mail. And since November of last year, we implemented a new computer system, and now we're on the Internet. So you can apply on the Internet, and that's at www.seeforyourself.com. And you can place an application.
C-S-E-E.
Oh, I'm sorry. S-E and the Roman numeral 4.
Okay, C-4. Right.
And the Roman numeral 4, and yourself.com.
The actual word yourself, with no spaces.
Yourself. No.
Okay.
Yeah, so we do have a number of people utilizing the Internet now. So we have been getting applications online, and we're processing those. As far as the processing time, we have the state states that we have 45 days to process an application, 90 for any disability-based application. However, if an individual has an emergency, we strive to do our best to get that as done as quickly as possible.
Because some people might not apply until something happens. They might need to apply.
Yeah. And that's, you know,
the child gets sick or something, then they go to the emergency room and, you know, they don't have insurance, they don't have any way of paying.
Yeah, usually when that happens, if they're in an emergency room or they've had an incident where they've been hospitalized, they'll come out with prescriptions that need to be filled. And so, you know, we do consider that to be an emergency because you can't get well without your medication.
Nice. Now, one of the words I heard thrown around in the Clinton 90s or whenever that was like time-limited services. Is Medi-Cal part of time-limited stuff, or basically as long as you qualify, do you get it?
Were you talking about, like, CalWORK?
Oh, yeah.
No. Time-limit? I believe the only time limit that we have is for refugee Medi-Cal, and that's for 8 months. But we don't have rarely had any of those cases here in the Valley. But the rest are not.
Oddly enough.
CMSP.
We are a border community.
Yeah, CMSP does have a 6-month time, a certification approval period. but the individual applies at the last month of certification, and that way we encourage them to do that so there's not a break in need.
So to check back in and, mm-hmm. and keep reapplying, just to make sure everything's kind of staying the same.
Yeah.
What mm-hmm. if, you know, what if that salary that I was talking about gets employed? They have a job. And mm-hmm. so how do you know that they're now receiving income and they don't no longer need Medi-Cal? I mean,
well, we have once an applicant is approved, they have 10 days to report any changes, whether of household composition, income, and so forth. And just to note, you can also work and be eligible for Medi-Cal. There's so many different programs, as I stated, that what we do is we take the general application, and as the application is denied in one program, we do assessments for the other one. And again, that's based on household composition. It could be because of the children, you know, and usually the children and pregnant women have a higher income base for eligibility because of the prenatal services that are so important. And again, for the children to ensure that they receive the help that they need also.
We're speaking with Claudia Camarena, and she's the program manager over Department of Social Services about all things Medi-Cal. 337-8874 is Let's talk about it. So Claudia, you know, this is kind of one of those times where you know, it's always maybe it's just election season, who knows. But it seems like there's a lot of talk right now about what we should spend money on in terms of government funding. You guys, Medi-Cal is a fairly expensive entitlement program, is it not?
Well, it is, but I think when you look at the cost of making sure that someone's well, you know, and healthy and productive and so forth, that it's, to me, an investment into the individual.
So the short version, I guess, would be then if we didn't pay for health care for people who couldn't afford health care, the taxpayers would be on the hook for more money eventually? Is that
Scott, are you trying to do it like a political, you know, like the elections going on?
I really have an agenda.
Agenda.
I kind of suspect at some level there's some logic behind doing this. And I guess I'm trying to touch where that logic might be.
I you know, what it is that they just want to ensure, you know, that the indigent who aren't able to get any assistance and so forth are able to have an opportunity to receive quality health care.
Because cost us more money down the road.
But you know what? I mean, you go to other countries and health care is available for everyone. For everyone. We are the
universal health care.
Yes, universal health care. Imagine that. And I mean, we are one of the richest countries in the world, and we have people who, kids, don't get any health care, and pregnant women and senior citizens not getting health care. And, you know,
maybe it's overrated.
We have, you know, you and I, us, all of us work at the county, you know, Department of Social Services, Behavioral Health, and we have insurance. And still, you know, we pay into it, you know, the county pays into it, and they pay out so much money. It's so expensive. And when you go to the doctor and have surgery, you still have a deductible and you still have to pay a portion. And you see that bill, even though we have insurance. Hold on. You know, the county's paying into it. I'm paying into this insurance. And I still have to pay more because of on my part. Now, imagine somebody that doesn't have employment. They don't have insurance.
Or their employer doesn't provide.
Or the employer, you know.
You know, and that's difficult because a lot of times you have individuals that are working and maybe both parents in a family, and neither one has health insurance available to them. And if they do, as Maria stated, you know, it's available at a cost that they're not able to meet without going into another, affecting another part of their living standard.
You know, with the health care reform, if you're against it, for it, you know, this is not the show for or against.
That'll
but
be after the break.
Yeah, but
we can talk afterwards.
It's something, you know. It's probably not perfect, and it's probably not, you know. But it's something. Yeah. Rather than not have nothing.
Yeah. And Medi-Cal has been around even prior to you know, healthcare reform and so forth. If anything, you know, obviously the bill is still being looked at and so forth, but. Medi-Cal will still continue. They'll still just be another group of people that will become eligible for it. So it's going to expand, actually, what we have right now. So those people that, because on Medi-Cal, you can also be eligible with a share of costs. So you can either
qualify for insurance,
like deductible. So when all these things come to play, when healthcare reform is fully implemented by 2014, mm-hmm. or the majority of it at least, these people will, the ones that have a share of costs, some of them may be able to receive the free card, because we are going to look in the future as some of our income requirements are going to be rising. So mm-hmm. that's going to bring in another group of individuals to be eligible that maybe at this point are active with a share of costs but don't utilize it because they really can't pay it.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me because it seems like we're almost being pulled two directions at the same time. We've got California budget crisis, which is restricting some of the service availability.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talked about in 2009, they cut dental care for adults and, mm-hmm. and some other, podiatry, I think, mm-hmm. was one of the other odd ones that they cut. But what we didn't talk about is trying to get seen in a clinic that accepts Medi-Cal, because that is its own little...
that's
issue.
Yes. Unfortunately, you know, again, because of our population, and we do have a large number of people that are receiving the Medi-Cal, there may be not enough providers. Mm-hmm. I don't know that really accept it. And from what I hear, sometimes
it doesn't pay quite as much as some other things.
Well,
right?
The provider rate is different.
Yes.
And that is an aspect that will be looked at as I would.
Is there more paperwork and stuff for them to claim the Medi-Cal, or more requirements, or is it?
As far as the billing, I don't know, okay. But I do know that when I get calls in the department, I do try to ensure that we route them to where they can find a provider listing, or give them the number in Sacramento to see who is available.
That's another thing. I mean, just. Okay, who is, okay, I have a Medi-Cal now, who's going to take it?
I've hung out with my mother-in-law at, you know, general practitioner visits, and, whoa, it's like crowded, and, whoa, it takes a long time to get seen, and, you know, you're in a waiting room full of people with health problems, like coughing all over you, and I'm like, wow,
it's
scary.
It's, you know, healthcare, you know, I'm glad that there's Medi-Cal, it's something that I don't use it, you know, because luckily, you know, I have a job. I'm like, yeah, I know that's
well,
a good job, and I'm grateful. But you know, it's there's so many people that need it, you know, that need it, and you know, another thing, you know, we work at the county and we can go, and I told you we have to pay into it and we have to pay this deductible and the share of costs. A lot of people are going to Mexicali and using the doctors in Mexicali, because we also, our county also, we have an insurance that also covers Mexicali, because some of them can't afford to pay those deductibles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's true, and you know, I've heard from clients that they also go to Mexicali.
Yeah. And you can't, you know, we don't qualify for Medi-Cal because of our income, mm-hmm. and we have a job, so we don't qualify for Medi-Cal, so and we kind of play that
deductible. I think if I have enough children, I might be able to sneak in the door. Is that, how many kids do I need?
Based on your income, right? Income and how many people.
Yeah, it's based on your income and how many people from...
I've been hanging out in your adoption agency.
Oh, really?
Just trying to get to the threshold.
We have, like, just for an example, a family of four, the income is $1,100 a month as far as what they can earn. But that doesn't include any...
Which is, like...
Wow.
Hello, we're in California. That's just a grocery bag for four people.
Oh, yeah, we understand that. But as I stated, the standards will be going up.
As well, because of health care reform.
Yeah, so that's going to change. So that's what I'm saying, that the umbrella is going to open up more. There's going to be more people that will be eligible for it with hopefully no share of cost.
Mm-hmm.
But that won't be for everybody. That's why we...
1,100? Really? For four mm-hmm. people?
Yeah. So what we do is, that's why we encourage everyone to really just to submit an application, because every case is so different from the resources, from the income, from the makeup of the family. As I stated, with children, they're in a higher percentage of, for the income base, you know, they'll go up to maybe 200% of the federal poverty level and still be eligible for a green card. So that depends, like I said, every case is different. So we encourage everyone to apply and let us make a determination for them to see what they're eligible for. A lot of times people may shy away from applying because they've heard that I'm not going to be eligible anyway.
A lot of paperwork.
A lot of paperwork. And what we do is we want to be able to see that so we can let them know what they're eligible for.
And I think a lot of them, a lot of them have a lot of questions, and I can say that because of family members, mm-hmm. too, regarding Medi-Cal.
Sure, lots of questions. And it's top of the hour, so we're going to take a short break. We're here with Claudia Camarena. She's from Department of Social Services, Medi-Cal. We're going to be, after the break, answering all of those questions. Join us right after the break. We'll be right back. Let's talk about it.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXOradio.com.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874.
And our guest today is Claudia Camarena. She's a program manager for Department of Social Services, and she is all things Medi-Cal to all people. But it's so complex, it's funny because you can't even do the show on the radio about eligibility because you've got like 1,000 different qualifiers that you have to check.
Yeah, and the majority of people don't know all the program screening that we do, but we do put them through every program that we can think of that's there to ensure that they're screened for eligibility because we want to make sure that everyone who applies and who is eligible is given the correct eligibility determination.
There should be a computer program that is like called Find My Medi-Cal, and you should be able to enter all of the qualifying stuff in, and it should take you to the best possible construction of benefits for that person and all that
money.
Well, actually, you know, you can sort of say that our system does do that. We put in everything. And it just, you know, it screens for everything.
But you've done it long enough that you actually can.
You can see the situation of a family, you know, what this person would be good at this program or that program.
Yeah, and we also do outside, you know, referrals if we see that their income's too high and so forth. We do referrals to the state's Healthy Families Program. We encourage people to also apply for that. That's an excellent program.
And that's for
children that would have a share of cost mm-hmm. and meet certain income criteria for their program, and then they're covered through Blue Cross.
And that's only for children?
Yes, there was a portion of it that was had been tentatively approved for adults a couple of years ago, but that never passed.
Do they apply for that through your office, or is that through someone?
They can go through the state website, and when they apply for Medi-Cal, we also have a consent area where they say that, yes, if, you know, that we can forward their application to Health and Families.
Okay.
And we forward it out for them.
So it's that whole one-stop principle.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice thing to have in place. Claudia Camarena, Program Manager, Department of Social Services, all things Medi-Cal, 337-8874, in case you want to call, because, you know, it's rare you get the person who actually knows all the answers in the studio with you, so if you've got a question. We are the poorest county in California, in the world, in the known universe or something.
No, it's here in California.
The United States,
With
crazy unemployment rates and lots of low-paying jobs and all of the it's like the perfect storm of economic struggle. Medi-Cal is underutilized here, I'm betting.
I wouldn't say that.
Do you think everybody who qualifies for it is applied for it?
Well, how much is our population here in the county? 140,000, and you have 18,000, but that's just the case. Doesn't include the whole family.
Yeah, that doesn't include. That's not the individual count. There may be people that aren't utilizing the program, obviously.
The working poor, perhaps?
Maybe working poor, maybe people who don't want to have the government involved. You know, a lot of people are for privacy issues. They prefer to try to make ends meet on their own, mm-hmm. and even if they don't, they still won't come
in. It could be a cultural issue. It could be an age issue, and I can say that because, you know, there's a lot of senior citizens that are very proud,
mm-hmm.
and they said, no, I'm not going to take assistance from government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a whole generational issue. It's just, and also culture. It could be also culture. You're very, very proud, and they say, no, I'm not going to.
Wouldn't want to point out that the whole electrical grid, for example, is actually help from the government.
And, you know, we also have outstation workers that, you know, in our clinics and hospitals and so forth, people that may go in that don't have that coverage, there's an attempt to reach them at that point, you know, mm-hmm. to have them submit an application. So
putting people at points of contact where they're going to run into people who, A, might need it right that time,
mm-hmm.
and B, you know, inevitably that's where they're going to end up if they do need it.
Yeah, and that's a good example. My dad. My dad, he had a heart attack, and he's a truck driver, and this was around 10 years ago. In Ventura, he had a heart attack, not Ventura, in Madero. And he had a heart attack, and he asked, of course, no insurance. And he was back then 10 years ago, he was 70 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
But at the hospital, they helped him, and they realized, you know what, he is a veteran. He's been a veteran, so they assisted him with all that, and he will not take, you know, Medi-Cal or any other assistance, but he will take veterans. But VA benefits because it's exactly heritage.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying, the cultural and also the generational. And, you know, he's a senior citizen, he's 80 years old now. And he will take the VA benefits, but because, you know, what Scott said, he earned it, I earned it.
Yeah, and there's individuals that feel that way, and obviously we respect those, you know, individuals' wishes, but what we
have
to do
is
ensure.
But you have to
also
think about your family, too, you know, if you don't have those benefits, you know, who's going to, the burden of it. You know, it's going to fall on your family.
Yeah, and that's why we just want to ensure that the information is out there so that they know when they make the decision to come in and apply that we're there and that we'll assist them as much as possible. We do want to make sure that when they come in that they have a positive experience in our department, that they're there to get the assistance as quickly as possible and so that they can go on and have the services that they need.
Have you guys sat down, I mean, because of the health care bill that passed, have you guys sat down?
Did you decipher it and kind of like explain it?
What I'm wondering is if you've done begun to do the analysis that tells you how big your department's going to have to be
and
how many people may be coming in.
Wow. You know, at this point, no, we haven't. We're still waiting. The state, as a matter of fact, today I'm going into a
webinar. Remember in American history when the baby boomers' kids all turned 5 years old and went to kids. Everybody, you know, World War II ended. They all went home. They immediately, everybody got pregnant. And 9 months later, they had kids. And then 5 years after that, all these kids showed up to kindergarten. And the schools had, like, no clue. And it blew the doors off the educational system. It took them, like, a generation to recover. I'm just saying.
Well, I think that's going to
be...
That's going to affect everyone across the companies, doctors, everyone. And that's
absolutely
why there's such a leeway into the actual implementation of the reform itself. We're looking at, as we stated, going into a meeting today exactly for that. And at Sacramento, we're doing a summary on that. So I may have that for you tomorrow. But it is going to be a long process.
It's a learning curve.
Yeah,
it's a learning curve because it's a lot of information.
Mm-hmm. It is. And but when it comes down to it, the positive of all of it is that we will be having people.
How long have you been doing Medi-Cal?
Stop. I've been doing Medi-Cal for 21 years.
Has it ever gotten easier? Have they ever gotten, like, less complicated?
Actually, we're at a point right now where the application process has been simplified. So we're happy about that and that
it changes every year because of the budget issues.
Yeah.
Right? It depends on the budget. If the economy is great, hey, there's more services.
Mm-hmm.
If the economy is bad, guess what? Services are getting
cut. And actually, California is one of the more generous states with Medi-Cal services. You know, the services that were cut were services that have not been provided in other states for quite a while.
Yeah.
And I believe we were only one of, I'm going to say under five, just to be safe, states that gave that. The rest of the states don't provide those services. So we have been able as a state to provide good health services for the Medi-Cal population.
Can you talk a little bit about minor consent Medi-Cal?
Okay, I'll touch on it a little. We have what's also called minor consent Medi-Cal. Minor consent is available for individuals under the age of 21 who reside with a parent and need assistance for pregnancy-related services, family planning, drug and alcohol counseling, outpatient mental health. Those are the three that we mainly deal with. And so when these individuals under the age of 21 come in and they need services, sometimes maybe confidentially without the knowledge of their parent, they go through an application process.
Under the age of 21 could be way under the age of 21?
It could be from...
How low do you go?
12 years old. And there's a certain scenario for under 12, but it's normally 12 to 21. And these individuals come in on a monthly basis to ensure that their eligibility continues. They sign a form. And that case, is, as with all of our cases, are confidential cases.
Right? So that means that, let's say that it's a family that has, you know, they both parents are working. They don't qualify for Medi-Cal.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you know, the daughter gets pregnant and you know, there's some situations where doesn't want to tell mom and dad, you know, I've known so many people that even my friends that, you know, they just so she can go out and get services for the baby. Mm-hmm. So that way the baby is she can have a healthy pregnancy and
yes,
prenatal care.
The prenatal care, I was going to say, because then she can apply after the birth for the child, but for the prenatal care and early testing and so forth, she can apply. And
as an independent person under the age of 21 without parental consent, even if she's 14, for example.
Yes, that is true. And the parents' resources and income are not utilized. Even if the parents have other health insurance coverage through their employer, that is not coded onto the Medi-Cal card so that there's no hindrance for that.
And I think once the parents have knowledge of it and are involved, then that's when...
A parent's knowledge of the situation doesn't nullify the person's eligibility.
So the benefit's a benefit.
Yeah. Sure. As long as they meet the criteria.
But hopefully the child will be able to communicate with parents.
Yeah.
That's what we strive.
Well, and I'm not sure, I mean, I've got a daughter now, and she's 9, so, you know, this is my drum roll for the future is dodging that minefield. Honestly, I think maybe probably as a person with a job, the last thing that would occur to me in that moment would be maybe I'm eligible for some additional benefits that I won't have to take out of my own insurance.
But you have to be under the age of 21 and have to be only those certain things.
Yeah, but I'm
going to
be busy arguing with my wife in the living room about whether to kick her out of the house or not.
And, well, you know, normally I think it's just based on the relationship within the family that,
it's interesting that possible benefit's floating around out there, and because it's a really dramatic moment.
Well, because it's only three with, you know, mental health, outpatient mental health, and that's something that if you don't provide that service, what's going to happen to that child, you know, especially with all this, you know, these cyberbullying and a lot of bullying. Also with alcohol and drugs, you know, if you don't provide this treatment to this child, you know, are they going to end up in the adult?
So there are some
legal system
and
treatment. And
you know, there's some things that teenagers may never tell their parents, but if you keep help available, you may be able to prevent bigger problems.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And that seems like Medi-Cal in general is really that's the goal, is to invest in people's health.
Yeah.
And including these specialized situations for teens, so that you don't get bigger problems, because ultimately, if you didn't pay for Medi-Cal, everybody would wait till it was catastrophic. Then they'd all go to the hospital, who'd be forced to treat them. The hospital would go bankrupt and close, cholesterol. And then you'd be in a situation where all the rest of us, even with our shaky insurances and high deductibles, et cetera, wouldn't have anywhere to go. And where would we be then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, like I said, it's the investment in the individual to ensure that their wellness is met for the medical aspect.
Didn't you say once you talked about the doctors in China, something that...
Oh, yes, they said, yeah. And this is kind of more historically. Who knows, because they're, you know, modernizing them, but who knows what... They may be trying to duplicate our system. Bless their hearts. In the Far East, in Asian countries, that you would pay the doctor for being well, and then you wouldn't pay the doctor when you were sick.
Interesting.
And so every week that you were healthy, you'd be, you know, sending the doctor some money and say, hey, doctor, good job.
Or sickness, probably.
Yeah, exactly. So whatever that commodity was, mm-hmm. that you know, represented your payment. And then when you were sick, you kind of changed the way the whole doctoring business would go, huh?
Yeah. I don't know.
Talk about incentive.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've never heard that before.
Well, you know, one of the struggles I think we face is that as we look at struggle to determine where resources are best spent,
mm-hmm.
and that's really what we're going through in California right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, what we do in our department is we just determine the eligibility for the individual. We are given instructions by the state for budgeting purposes and so forth, but when we're given those instructions, we go ahead and implement
yeah.
them just to ensure
to
that just to make sure that we're not hindering
anyone's access. Because you've gotten the green light, basically, legislatively, to
yeah.
do, this is your mandate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we...
You're the functional arm.
We run with federal, state, and, you know,
yeah.
money, so
yeah.
we're funded just for that purpose,
yeah.
to ensure that they receive that medical care.
So a lot of exciting things are going to come.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, we're really excited. We're going to look and see. It's going to be a couple of year transition.
To 2014.
2014 is when a lot of the actual reform is to be implemented.
I know you don't have the numbers or the amounts of money or people or anything right now, but are there anything in that 2014 timeline, are there anything specific that you can see coming, like I don't know, like adults over the age of 21, who don't have high income. Right now they get CMSP if
mm-hmm.
they meet the other criteria.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Right now they meet CMSP. They have CMSP, County Medical Services
yeah.
Program. And they are eligible if their income is not over 200% of the federal poverty level. Excuse me. But when the reform comes around, that program will cease to exist because these individuals will be taken in under the umbrella of Medi-Cal. And from what I've seen, our formulations of calculation are going to change and will be used. From what I've seen, it could change, but, you know, at this time, it will be sort of in line with the modified adjusted gross income test that IRS uses. So
mm-hmm.
it's bringing all these things together so that you can verify the income through
mm-hmm.
the same
and
avenue.
That's, you know, that's the populations that we work with, Sky and I, that we work with the mentally ill
mm-hmm.
and the alcohol and drugs. Adults,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them are single young men over the age of 21.
Mm-hmm.
They don't work, they're unemployed, they have no, they might have a little, I mean, or they live with parents,
they have no dependents.
And
those right now, actually yesterday I was told by one of our other managers that our CMSP population right now is over 5,000, a little over 5,000. So that population will go into what will be.
So now you're looking, now you're, okay, 18 plus 5, 23 plus all the rest of the.
So that
and that'll be post-COVID Medi-Cal, which
county
medical services is more just like emergency care stuff.
Well, actually, at this time, because of the restriction that's happened with the Medi-Cal, CMSP is giving more benefits at this time to those individuals that are over 21. Because if you're over 21, a parent and a household getting Medi-Cal, you're not getting some of the services that I stated earlier. But in CMSP, they still provide dental, they still provide vision. They still provide some of the other things that the Medi-Cal.
So it's like an upgrade almost in some respects.
Well, we've also had some individuals call us and ask to be moved to CMSP, but unfortunately they're not in the eligibility
mm-hmm.
criteria.
Because if you have children or whatever. You
yeah. It's only for the indigent population
yeah.
over the 21 and so forth. So your population will be taken in under that.
Well, yeah, because yeah, on the other hand, full scope Medi-Cal pays for mental health care,
uh-huh.
and CMSP does
not. I think it's a very small element in the CMSP program right now. There's just to touch on full scope versus restricted in the Medi-Cal program, there's also restricted for our non-citizen population, individuals who do not have satisfactory immigration status. They can also apply, but the services that they receive are limited. It's for pregnancy-related services only or for emergency-related, which would be a life-threatening
mm-hmm.
situation.
That must be several cases that you have.
Well, and Lord only knows what the government can make of life-threatening in terms of defining that and deciding who makes that decision. And amazing.
That's another show.
That probably is another show.
That's another show. But, I mean, the services that you provide, it's just for so many families. You know, so many families.
Literally life-saving.
Life-saving. I mean, life-saving. If we didn't have that, I mean, it's something. Medi-Cal is something that we have. You know, it might not be enough, but
it might not be perfect, and it might be all the weaknesses that keep people alive.
Look what we have compared to other countries.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have that thing, you just die.
And we don't have to look too far. You know, we border another nation where they don't have the medical assistance, you know, that we have here. So, like I stated, you know, we just want to ensure that our population is able to go on and live their lives with dignity and respect, mm-hmm. have that medical care available.
For people, well, and part of this is, just, you know, we're going to throw this show up on the podcast at kso.radio.com. And so part of this is if people hear this and they want more information, that's right, you're immortalized for everybody.
Yes, you are.
if people want
you can email it to other people.
Or think that you know, 6 months ago when I heard the show on the radio, I was like, well, everything is fine, and now I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. Who do they contact?
Well, they can contact our number at 337-6800. That's our switchboard. And there they can, they're not sure if they don't remember the means of application, they can ask there and they'll be notified, what I stated, the internet,
mm-hmm.
the www.c4, and the word yourself.com.
So it's actually CIV.
Uh-huh, CIV.
CIV.
Yourself.
Yourself.com. And then we can mail you an application packet, or you can come into our offices at 2995 South 4th Street at Suite 105. And we'll assist you there with your Medi-Cal application.
If they say they heard it on Let's Talk About It, will you give them like a coffee cup or something?
No. And what time?
Know?
The time that you're open?
Medi-Cal's a fun
time. We're not that funny.
What time are you? Your doors open?
Our doors are open from 7 in the morning till 6 at night.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
The documents and so forth at that time.
From 7 to 6.
And it depends on our staff who's working those hours. You know, they make their appointments for those times. But we do our best to make sure that we're available to everybody. As I stated, we have ETs on off-site as well that go and take the application. And we just encourage everyone that has a question or believes they may be eligible to go ahead and apply, because you don't know unless you come and apply.
And you have all, like you said, ETs available. Don't you have them, like, at the FRC?
Yeah, we have at FRCs and so forth. Although some of our FRCs are on school grounds, mm-hmm. so not everyone has access to those. So I don't want to really refer people there because I hate to make them waste their time.
Mm-hmm.
School grounds. What should we call from the principal on that one, huh?
Yeah, so, you know, we just encourage them to take advantage of one of our other three methods of application, and we'll be more than happy to help them.
Thank you so much for coming aboard.
You
know what? This turned out okay, didn't it? We were kind of joking in the beginning about line 37A of form 839B. And
but you're going to have to come back.
There's a lot of stuff here.
You know what? As things are coming up, it's really good to inform us, you know, the changes because of the healthcare reform. And definitely, you know, as to update us and the community, because...
And after the budget, so I can keep God up to date.
Yeah, there you go.
Yay,
he's a numbers
health.
Guy. He wants
mental health and alcohol and drug parity. That's what I'm all about for health insurance. Thanks for coming aboard, Claudia.
Thank you.
Appreciate
the invitation.
And thank you for listening today. This is Let's Talk About It. Sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. And if you missed the quick update on Maria's busy weekend, the AIDS Day Planning Committee is having a meeting at the Public Health Room Friday, October 22nd at 12 o'clock. Lunch will be provided, and there is a topic, Stop AIDS, Universal Access, and Human Rights. For more information, call the co-chairs Greg Gelman over at Brawley Pharmacy, 344-4100, or Tanya IAU at 779-7792.
Buddy Walk.
There's also the Buddy Walk.
The Down Syndrome Association is having a Buddy Walk this Saturday, October the 23rd, from 9 to 1 p.m. at Buckland Park.
This Saturday, Buckland Park, 9 to 1. And it is for the Down Syndrome Association.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of fun. It's always fun to be out there. They got lots of arts and crafts and lots of ways people can help, but lots of ways people can participate and have a good time. Mm-hmm. So do that one.
And then also on Saturday, they're having the Bike Track Evening Learning Center sponsoring a car wash for breast cancer awareness at the Salvation Army parking lot at 1301 South 4th Street in El Centro from 9 to 12. Again, all donations are going towards the Between Women, which is a non-profit breast cancer organization. And once you get your car washed, you can head out to the IV Expo for the 18th Annual La Gente Car Show. Mm-hmm. If you need more information, you can call 674-6153 or 886-1291.
Have a great weekend. Okay. Stay nice to each other. Stay healthy.
Okay, bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUVO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXRadio.com.